141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we land in between European and Scottish Cup action. Rangers return from Lisbon with the tie all square after a 2-2 draw against Benfica. Brendan Rodgers stands by his Hearts referee comments and vows to fight his Scottish FA charge. And there are places at Hampden at stake this weekend. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Kenny Miller and Roger Hanna.
Well, as Jimmy Greaves used to say, it really is a funny old game, Gordon. You know, those Rangers could still win a domestic treble, but they threw absolutely everything at their Euro tie in Lisbon last night. Celtic have let two Ange Postecoglou signings go 5 weeks after their transfer window closed. Derek McInnes, Aberdeen's most successful manager in 30 years, is going back up there tomorrow to try and add more pain and misery on his old club. And that's even before we look at the Old Firm in the Scottish Cup on Sunday. Hearts trying to do what Motherwell couldn't at Capello on Monday night. And it's Derby weekend in the Championship, including the Spiders feed the Jags at Hampden tomorrow afternoon. Sometimes the football's not great, but the storylines are brilliant, Gordon.
You've got to love the enthusiasm for a man who's been sunning himself in Barbados over the last couple of weeks. Kenny Miller, he's come back, he's thrown himself into it because there is a lot happening.
And he's summed up perfectly, hasn't he? It was a big, it's a big weekend of Scottish Cup action, but you look at the Championship as well, obviously heating up at the top of the league as well, some big games in there. And after Aberdeen Kilmarnock's done tomorrow morning, all attention in Scotland anyway, we'll turn to that.
01419511025, that is the number that you need. On the pitch, it's going to be a busy enough show anyway, because we need to look back on Rangers' performance and result in Lisbon. So Rangers fans, how did you sum it up? What stood out for you? Good, bad, in the middle? How do you feel about the chances of progressing from here? Let us know. 01419511025. Maybe you were over there and you want to give us your thoughts on the game as well. That's absolutely fine. As Rogers alluded to, we've got Scottish Cup quarterfinals this weekend. One of the biggest weekends in the calendar, so get all your thoughts in on that same number. And then of course the other stuff that Scottish football specialises in. Brendan Rodgers speaking for the first time today since he got that Scottish FA charge for comments made about the refereeing team at Tynecastle, and he's sort of doubling down, if you like, as we head into a busy weekend. So whatever you've got for us, this is the place to share it. 01419511025. You get a limited opportunity at this, don't milk it. How was Barbados at this time of year?
It was very
Whilst
nice.
Whilst Kenny and I were in Clydebank.
It was very. I heard Gordon Dale was missing me on the show last Saturday afternoon. I was
He called you a very, very interesting name, I have to say.
Listen, the news came across the water very, very quickly. However, I know he was only in jest, and it gave me a little giggle because I could send a poolside photograph back to him.
Did you hear what he called him?
No.
I think it was by accident. He didn't quite know how this word can be used. He called him, you know, the thing that you would wear on your head if you were cycling or on a motorcycle.
Oh, okay.
just shouted it out to the nation.
Did they? Oh well, okay.
He said, "Where is the?" And used that word. I've no idea what he was thinking.
Yeah.
But anyway, he regrets it and he's sorry. 01419511025. Come on then, what are you thinking? Busy weekend, but if we look back first, Rangers fans, what did you make of last night's performance? How good was that one? You look at the last few seasons, you've managed to go and give some big European sides a bloody nose. And again, coming back with what you would have to say was a positive result. So what did you make of the performance, the result, the chances of progressing from here? Who stood out? And of course, it then has to be balanced with Scottish Cup action as well. Can the players go again? Did you see any signs of tiredness? Is the squad a bit stretched? Or will the recovery be top drawer? Get all your thoughts in right now on that if you can. 01419511025. As always, you get bonus points if you were over there and you want to give us the eyewitness account, but most of you probably watched it in the telly, so get all of your post-match assessments in. 01419511025. You think about this, Kenny, as a full package: European action and Scottish Cup quarterfinals with that title race just bubbling away in the background. I feel like this is it really getting serious, if it wasn't before.
I think, and definitely in a league perspective, when you get down to single digits, it's always kind of the business end of the season. You get to the quarter-final weekend, the same can be said about that. But when you're having to juggle a massive last 16 in the Europa League as well, and potential quarterfinals in that as well if they can, if Rangers can get the job done at home next week. It's, I mean, it's, I mean, they're firing on all fronts at this moment, Rangers. Their squad does look bare, and the players looked very, very tired towards the end of that game last night. So it's a big balancing act for Philippe Clement going into Sunday. I've no doubt he'll change his team. You know, he's done that anyway, whether it's been a really hectic schedule or even week to week. He's made 3, 4, 5 changes pretty much to the starting lineup most weeks, game to game. So I'm no doubt he'll shuffle the pack for at least maybe 2 or 3 changes on Sunday. But you're starting to look at the top end of the pitch, you're thinking, who could he change at that top end of the pitch at this moment? Because it seemed to be like everybody was playing. I know McCausland came through that Dan Casey tackle last week that had him leaving the stadium in crutches, but it was it came on last night. So I think there's kind of 4 players at the top end that he'll need to have a long, hard look at to see if they can go again on Sunday, because it's a massive game. And I know they've came through the 2 games against Hibs under Philippe Clement pretty easily, to be honest with you, but it'll be a tough task after Thursday night.
Come on then, 01419511025. Any European game usually comes with quite a big post-mortem on here, never mind one that had 4 goals, own goals, penalties, handballs, and everything really. So how do you reflect on it? Let's start with Alan, who's a Rangers fan. Are you feeling pretty satisfied about the overall job done, Alan?
Yes, good evening, panel. Very satisfied. I'm just saying that to your producer, I'm not going to lie, I think the league is a big one this year, and you never want to see your team get put out of Europe, but after the result last night, it was very satisfying. And I also seen your producer about not wanting to sell players just now, because years down the line, it looks like we've got a couple of good players in DeMonde, Sterling. Very satisfying. Handball as usual. It's a pretty poor decision, I think. But very satisfying altogether.
Yeah, well, listen, let's do them separate. We'll do the handball for sure. Between now and the end of the show, I'm absolutely certain of it. Kenny, how did you rate the performance? What did you make of it?
I think it was the type of performance you would expect from a Rangers team going to a massive European club away. You know, they were going to have to defend well for long spells. They were going to be, more of their work was going to be against the ball rather than kind of in possession. I mean, that being said, I think Philippe Clement would maybe look for the side maybe to take a little bit more control where they had it, maybe make more use of the ball when they did get it as well. But I think it was a really impressive performance based on what it needed to be. You know, we don't see Rangers or Celtic, for that matter, play that type of game domestically at all. But when they play in these big European nights, particularly the knockout stage, which is getting to the latter stage of the tournaments, they need to adapt their game. And I thought Rangers were pretty good. And what they need to do, again, like Motherwell did at Ibrox last week, when you get your moment, you need to take it. You know, and they've done that well. They responded really well for a horrific decision. Again, it's not just the Scottish referees that probably make the mistakes after that. And then within 3-4 minutes, they're back in the lead right before half time. And really, it was starting to remind me a lot of the Betis game, the way that kind of went, kind of to and fro and back and forth. So it was I felt it was a decent performance for me. I know Philippe Clement's not happy because he's not happy with the goals and he's a perfectionist, but if you had offered him a 2-2 before the game, I'm sure he would have taken it.
It just feels, Roger, like we've been here before with Rangers. And funnily enough, it now is a different team. It's not like it's all the same players, although there are elements of it. But it is a tough place. Yes, Benfica got battered at the weekend. They've still got the huge budget. They've still got World Cup winners. It just feels like Rangers find a way of getting the job.
As you say, it's partially a changed team. I think only three survivors from the Seville final, Tavernier, Goldson and Lundstrom, starting last night. But it looks an experienced team. It looks a team that goes to places like the Stadium of Light, even with Benfica's incredible home record in the Europa League, never beaten. And they weren't fazed by the challenge at all. At no stage did they look as if they felt inferior to Angel Di Maria and, you know, all of those, you know, expensive players, Nicolas Otamendi, a couple of World Cup winners in that Benfica team. And, you know, Rangers' recent record in Europe has been nothing short of incredible. You know, when you look back, and Kenny will be able to tell you, you know, teams in the noughties and in the 90s and in the 80s and the 70s, you know, Rangers never had this level of consistency in European competitions, getting in post-Christmas multiple year on year. And listen, they've got to the final of this competition before, they won't be worried.
You're starting to feel a bit like that, Alan. You know, there was a time, sorry to bring back bad memories for anyone, that, I don't know, Lithuanian opposition or Slovenian opposition or whatever might actually worry you a little bit, but it feels like Rangers more often than not sort of go minimum fuss against some big teams at the moment.
Yes, definitely. And as Roger pointed out there, where Rangers have came, going down the divisions, the record in Europe is absolutely outstanding. Keeping the coefficient points up every year, but especially the Czechs breathing down the necks of the Scottish teams. I think it's amazing what they're doing in Europe.
I think, Kenny, maybe is when I said about no fuss, look, I almost regretted that, because there's a bit of fuss when you score an own goal and you give away a penalty. And but what I mean is that sort of overall outcome, and again, kind of down to the bare bones, really, if you look at the injury list, particularly out wide, but then you throw in Todd Cantwell into that mix and some of the longer term ones as well. It just feels like they kind of get, you know, good at getting that job done.
I just think we, as a nation, we always look at these big glamorous clubs, whether it be their Benficas or your Portals who have came, Feyenoords, PSV Eindhovens that have came to Scotland over the last few years, and I think we just downplay mm-hmm. how good our kind of our teams are and where they're at, because again, from a Rangers perspective, over the last 4 or 5 years, I've seen every European game. I think Leverkusen came to Ibrox and it was really there was a bit of a gulf there.
Okay, Havertz, wasn't it?
It's the only time I think really I've seen a team. I mean, Borussia Dortmund, does it come? They're a Champions League club, you know. Rangers won in Dortmund, and they should have won at Ibrox as well. Like, should, and they deserve to win mm-hmm. at Ibrox. It's no backs against the wall stuff. I just think we do downplay our game a little bit. We always kind of take a negative approach and we put these other teams up on a pedestal, whereas Rangers have been competitive. You're right. I mean, you're saying no fuss, but I know exactly what you mean. It's like, well, we've seen it before. You know, we've seen this game a million times for Rangers over the last 4 or 5 years.
Doesn't surprise you that they come back?
No, not at all.
Basically,
I genuinely believe there's nothing to fear. Like mm-hmm. Benfica have got incredible players within their team. Individuals, are they a really, really good team? I'm not too sure. Was Pedro Mendes last night, listening to him, and he was saying they're not actually in a good moment. The manager's playing players out of position. There might not be a real good feel about the place at the moment between the fans and the players. So I don't think there's anything to fear. Listen, you still need to turn up. You still need to perform to your mm-hmm. absolute top, top level. You need your players, probably 8-9 of them, to have 8-9 out of 10s mm-hmm. on the night, probably to get the result and get through. But I don't think there's anything to fear, and we've seen over the last few years, particularly Ibrox, on those European nights, that Rangers rise to the occasion.
Thank you to Alan.
Did you see Liverpool and Roma last night? There's plenty to fear in a quarter-final draw, Kenny.
Well, there's nothing to fear yet, Rogers, what I mean. If Liverpool come up to Glasgow again after last year, then there might be a few fans fearful.
Yeah, they look like they've got a future in the competition. I think we can agree. Let's bring in Eddie. Eddie, what jumped out for you last night?
I thought it was a brilliant performance for Rangers. Great show, guys. A fantastic performance. The penalty, I thought, you know, when it goes to VAR, you're always worried. You know, I mean, it came off Suter's head. I don't know what he's meant to do with his arm there. You know, he's jumping up. You use your arms to go up. But the one thing I wanted to was Sterling's performance. I thought he was absolutely magnificent last night. Absolutely brilliant. And I think he's going to be another Barca. I think he's going to move on for a lot of money. But I just thought all round Rangers were just fantastic, and just something we've got in the Europa League. I don't know what it is. You know, you can beat Motherwell at home and then you go over to Benfica because they're a good team. I just thought it was absolutely fantastic.
It just means Motherwell are better than Benfica. That's the way it works. You don't have to worry about the there's nothing complex at play here. Dejan Sterling, was that his first senior goal?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, like, a guy who's a right back and comes up and then sort of plays sort of everywhere in central midfield and then out wide away at Benfica and scores his first senior goal. Is he maybe sum up what's good about Rangers at the moment?
I think so, and yeah. I think it's the effect that Clement's had. I mean, what I would say to Ed is, I'm not sure anybody will buy him for a lot of money as a winger. that's the thing.
He
got his goal last night. I think he's done great, whether it be filling in at fullback, whether it be going into centre midfield, like he played, I think it was in the final and away in Betis as well. And then he's been deployed as a left winger, right winger, a front three over the last month or so as well. And he just seems to go and do the job. I did feel last night it's a type of game where him being in that position would have suited Rangers, because there was going to be a lot of work needing to be done against the ball. His physicality was always going to be, but his goal, you know, he deserves it, you know, because he's been in good positions. He missed a decent chance against Motherwell coming in for that right wing position, and that was just a really good run. Whether it was, we'll give Silva the benefit of that, we'll call it a wonderful pass as well. And it was, again, to get your first goal, first senior goal away in a European last 16, it's an incredible story. He was superb.
He'd done really well. You know, he had that injury at the start of the season after Rangers signed him. I think he then had problems. He was talking about it a couple of weeks ago there. He had problems with his eyesight, of all things. And that sort of held him back a bit. But he sort of got thrown into the team at that time in central midfield because Rangers had suspensions. They had injuries at the time. And it was almost a sort of sink or swim moment for him in his first season at Rangers. And he really did very well. And now it's almost as if Philip Clement is going to pick him every week, but just has to find the, you know, where there's availability that week to put him in, because he's played wide left, he's played wide right, as you say, he's, you know, he's played centre mid, which is a sort of alien position to him. But he does have that athleticism about him. He covers the ground, makes good challenges, and he's the type of player you can see Philip Clement liking.
Right, elaborate on this handball, Eddie. What are we saying?
Well, when I seen it and it was going to VAR, you know, you say to yourself, well, here we go. And his hand was up, but it's come off his head, and then it's even come onto the top part of his arm. It's just one, you just don't know with handball these days, do you? You know, it seems to be different rules in different countries. There's no common rule right through it. You know, I think they should go back to the rule where, unless it's deliberate, where the guy's put his hand out and saved it on the line, or put his hand out, you know, to save a cross, it's a penalty. All this carry on, as Clement said, you know, you want players to run about like penguins on the park now, you know. I just don't get it. I don't think
anybody does. Which is mad, you know, like this notion of, yeah, there's always going to be a bit of interpretation, right? We know that. But having argued all week about Tomoki Iwata at Tynecastle, and then last night, bad night for the We Should Get Foreign Referees Brigade in, I have to say. Don't want that guy. If we're recruiting from elsewhere, that's fine. Just don't hire him. The IFAB rule says no handball offence should be called from a player if the ball is previously deflected from his own body, and in particular when the ball does not go towards the own goal. I mean, would you?
Yeah.
How much longer do we say? Well, but it's interpret. How Gordon, else do you interpret that? I do take Eddie's point. Neil, there's this suggestion that in UEFA, UEFA competitions, they've got a bit more of a zero tolerance approach. So in Scotland, that penalty wouldn't be given, except maybe it would. Looking at the weekend.
So I know you're a stickler for the laws and the rules of the game, and you give us.
Well, I'm struggling with this one.
I'm watching this last night, and because of the law and because of the rules, I'm thinking there's no way a penalty can be given. So,
and then look at the West Ham one, and in the same competition,
they don't. It was incredible. It's a stonewall penalty if Suchek hits it. If it's the defender that hits off his own, then it's clear because of the law, it's not a penalty. But that's exactly what happened with John Souter.
Yeah.
And this is why I can't understand it, because you can say in European competitions that might be slight. No, the rules are the rules. If you head it, kick it, whatever it is, deflects off one body part onto your arm, a penalty shall not be given. The referees know the rules more than anybody else. He's went to the screen, seen exactly what's happened, and gave the penalty. I cannot get my head around it. We're talking again, we're hearing about we need to get other officials, English officials up, or foreign. No, because they foreign officials are. That's even worse for me, because that's clearly stated in the rules. If you head, kick, deflects onto your arm, it's not a penalty. But he's went to the screen, seen what's happened, and still gave a penalty.
If there is some sort of guidance in UEFA competition that should be a penalty, then that's very unhelpful, Roger, for a start, because it should be the same across the board. And secondly, that does fall apart then when you look at some of the other examples like the West Ham one.
Gordon, this is the problem. This is why the likes of Eddie, other supporters and callers like Eddie get themselves frustrated. Why managers and players get themselves frustrated? Because there are now decisions being given that actually fly in the face of what the rules are.
Yeah.
And it was perfect symmetry last night, you know, the same night, the same 8 o'clock kickoff. John Souter's is given as a penalty, and the one in the West Ham game isn't given as a penalty. Last weekend, Tomoki Iwata was given as a penalty, and nobody seems to know, and nobody seems to clarify. Now, you're saying, you know, if there's a thing with UEFA where that UEFA can't just make the rules up as they go along.
Yeah.
You know, they can't say every third Thursday we're going to play 94 minutes. You know, there are rules set in place for a purpose. Whether we agree with the rules or not, UEFA can't just decide to bend the rules for the Europa League. It's a nonsense.
Well, what do you think? 0141 951 1025. Give us a call right now and we'll try and get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna's back, he's holidays. Kenny Miller is in the building as well. And they're asking you to get in touch. You can tweet us as well. Peter has sent us a tweet and he's got his lineup for Rangers against Hibs. So he's gone Jack Butland in goal, James Tavernier at right back. Then he's gone for five Dujon Sterlings and four Ridvan Yilmazes. I think that maybe is a indicator of who he felt were the big contributors last night.
Not sure that team would win, to be honest with.
The balance is just not there. Yeah. But are those two in particular deserving of a bit of praise? With the sort of story that's there as well of Sterling, multi-position, we covered him. Yilmaz, most Rangers fans would have probably happily seen him on his way in January.
Well, it looked as if he was going to go, didn't it? It looked as if he was going to go to Hellas Verona to replace Josh Doig. It looked as if Jefty or Hefty or whatever you want to call him, the Brazilian from Cyprus, was going to come in. That deal didn't get through. It was complications with his parent club and his loan club. I think Rangers might try and resurrect that bid in the summer. You wonder if Borna Maricic will leave in the summer, and then whether it'll be Jefty as first choice and what that means for Yilmaz. But the way Yilmaz has been playing lately, he's not done himself any harm. Even if you look at the Kilmarnock game, you know, Barisic started Kilmarnock, didn't he? Was taken off after 45 minutes at 1-0 down, and Yilmaz came in and contributed to the comeback win. So I think for the rest of the season, he's established himself as first choice. And beyond that, you wonder if he's done enough to really breathe life into his Rangers career.
I think he's the game just before, after the Celtic game, just before the break, was it Kilmarnock actually? I think it was Kilmarnock on 2nd of January. I think Philippe Clement actually says that was his best performance. I actually was at the game watching it. In the first half, I thought he was probably the best player on the pitch, to be honest. So he's started to build. It's just taken him a bit of time to settle because it did look like he was going to be leaving in January. There's two things yet. He's either going to be the number one left back, again, when Barisic leaves, because I think Barisic might actually play on Sunday because he's been one of the positions that has been kind of rotated. But anyway, I think with Yilmaz, he's either going to establish himself as the number one, or in the summer, that transfer value could be driven up because he's performing to such a high level at this moment domestically and now in Europe that if anybody is looking at him, then Rangers might get that transfer fee back that they did pay on, which was quite a hefty fee at the time. So he's playing well. Sterling, again, if you're touching on him, you say every position he's played, he's done well. But two of the outstanding performers last night.
You left here to go and play in Turkey, so you will have an idea of the issues in terms of settling into a new country, a new language, a new league, a new culture. Can you understand why it's taken Yilmaz so long to settle?
I can. I mean, obviously, I was a lot older as well, and I mean, the situation was a family situation. We just couldn't kind of be there. It was too much for the family, for him as a young man coming over here. I can absolutely understand it. Again, we're so quick to rush to any kind of judgment on players, particularly. I mean, what we're judging is what we see on a Saturday, you know, and that's it, and that's all kind of fans really care about in us, and the media side. Again, we're judging what we see. But again, this day and age society, we've got to look what's behind the player, you know, and there's a young man who's came across. By the way, you don't even know in terms of what's going on in the building. Has he made any kind of mates within the group?
Has he got any pals?
Absolutely, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. You know, so because I think, again, from what was hearing, Cifuentes maybe had that type of an issue as well, that, again, a language barrier and things, that it was maybe really finding it tough to settle. So you've got to look at all these things. There's one thing for sure, it's kind of 18, 20 months now into his Rangers career. He's having a brilliant run of games at the moment. He's in really, really good form, as are the rest of his teams.
Well, Stuart is on the line.
When Kenny first came through for Hibs, he had the language barrier to deal with.
There is that.
He's only just handling it now.
Stuart's on the line. Who do you want to discuss, Stuart?
The goalkeeper, Jack Butland. Definitely 100%. I'm starting to get worried. I know that this might sound funny, but the way he's playing now, even Kenny will back me up here. I said, he's really, really settled into this team. I mean, the way things are going, you could be talking to £15 to £20 million. If somebody can win my bid, if he gets into the English squad, which I think he will, that's going to put his ratings and his transfer money up. I mean, last night he was absolutely outstanding last night.
I wonder what nights like last night do for the England thing. Like, we've been over this so many times over the years. What do they think of us up here? What do they think of our league? You know, whether it's about transfers, whether it's about international recognition, sometimes it takes European performances for people to really notice. I wonder if that does have a material impact.
Well, I think Gareth Southgate names his squad for the two friendlies next Thursday afternoon. Both Southgate and Martin Margetson, his goalkeeping coach, have mentioned that they've been watching Jack Butland. They have looked up here in the past. Remember Fraser Foster getting capped when he was at Celtic. And if you look at the England goalkeeping situation, Jordan Pickford's first choice and has been for years and will be for as long as Gareth Southgate's manager. But below that, you know, Nick Pope at Newcastle is out injured at the minute. Aaron Ramsdale at Arsenal isn't playing, albeit he'll play this weekend because they're playing Brentford, and David Raya is cup tied, ineligible against his parent club. The two Palace keepers, Sam Johnson and Dean Henderson, seem to be sort of fighting against each other for you know, minutes at club level under a new manager, Oliver Glasner. So I genuinely think there is an opportunity there for Jack Butland to get back into the squad. I actually hope he does, because I think his form deserves a call up. And after that, it's really just up to Jack Butland.
I always feel like there's a few ways of judging goalkeepers, Kenny, and that can you always be reliable? Can you always be consistent? That's like one thing. And then the next bit is, can you make saves that people don't expect you to make? Sometimes in Scotland, it's just going to be the first bit. It's just going to be reliable. You might be quiet. You might not have that much to do. That kind of double save last night, was that one of those that does make people sit up and take notice if they're not already?
Well, I think the first thing, definitely, you need to be reliable. You need to be there, and you need to have that level of concentration and consistency in your game. But I think for a Rangers goalkeeper, I think the second thing does apply, because at some point you are going to, I think to Kilmarnock at 1-0. You know, is it the shot that has to make a big save? Listen, you can say all the forwards should have done better, probably should have scored, but that's a big save in a really big moment.
I just mean in Europe, because we're speaking about what Rangers have done over the last few seasons and Alan McGregor played, chances are when you go to Benfica, you're going to need your goalkeeper to do that one bit at some point.
I actually thought he was playing for saves last night, because he's just throwing things straight to Di Maria so he could then make a save. But when he was called upon to make the saves, I mean, like you say, the double save was probably the pick of the bunch. I think the other chances, I think it was Neres had the left foot shot at the near post. It's a save you would expect him to make, but that double save, I think, was an outstanding, it was a big moment in the game, you know. So that's what I think you'll be looking at. See, for me as well though, I think when you're talking about how do the viewer get, I think for a goalkeeper it is a bit different, because you're maybe judging it against, like, saves are saves, you know, like big saves are big saves. And I think when you're a goalkeeper who might not be having to make that many big saves, but you are making the ones that count, I think that's definitely, it shows a really good concentration, good character, good mentality. So these will all be things that Gareth Southgate would be looking for in his goalkeeper. So I'm with Roger. I think his form definitely deserves to be part of that squad.
You're worried about losing him, Stuart, or are you not, if the fee was good?
If he was good, I'd be worried. Can I ask Kenny Miller a question?
Go for it.
Kenny, do you see this new Champions League set up? Whoever wins the league next season, right? I've looked it up and down. I mean, this is going to be something. This is going to be some money and some pot to get into. Let's say 1 to 10, 10 to 16, and then after that, I think it's 20 to 25 or something, that you get put out automatically. I mean, it's going to be some sort. What do you think? Do you think it, or can you get your head around it yet?
It's actually tough to try and get the head around it at this moment. It was just kind of, I've seen it this week, and obviously there was an explanation. It was actually on social media, actually. I've seen it pop up, and there was a real explanation of how it was going to play out. It's different, that's for sure. I think you're going to get some cracking games. I think one of the features of it, that you're going to get some real big clubs playing against big clubs in the early rounds. So it's interesting. You know, I think I'm always a wee bit old school, whereas I love the format of the Champions League. I think it's really good. This does look exciting. When you see it's something new, it's something exciting. Listen, it would be great if Rangers were part of it.
I must say, it's an interesting tactic from Stuart. He's got the choice out of you two to explain the format, and he's gone for you rather than Roger.
Yeah,
I don't.
Well, Roger could explain it a lot better, but I've seen it. I don't know like the exact with the eight to this.
People might think you're still on holiday, but it's you can see. Look, I get Kenny's point. Sometimes we're unsure of change, but actually, I don't know, maybe the current Champions League format is becoming a bit stale.
I think it is. Yeah. I absolutely think it is, because it doesn't really
grab you anymore.
No,
does it?
The group stage doesn't grab you, because there's such a disparity in quality between the Man Cities, the Bayern Munichs, the Real Madrids, down to the teams who are in pot four. Mm-hmm. And you've seen it in some of the results, fives and sixes and sevens regularly over the last 5 years in the competition. It did need something done with it. This is innovative. It's different. I don't think we'll really get a grasp on it until we see, we see how the draw operates come August, and who's going to get who, and who'll be at home and who'll be away, etc. But UEFA are right to try and change it, because it was getting a bit stale.
Let's bring in Gary and see how he's feeling tonight. Gary?
I'm a lot of Rangers supporters, very impressed with what I've seen yesterday, especially with the amount of players that we've got out injured, obviously. As a team, I was impressed with each and every individual.
What about the balancing act now, Gary? Because straight into a huge cup tie, you're from Edinburgh, so you'll have a vested interest in this one, I'm sure. Do you think the squad can do it, can handle that, balancing act?
Of course we can do it. I mean, it's one of the things, a club as big as ours, and the expectation, you just have to do it. When you pull on that blue jersey, you've got a responsibility, and you've just got to sit there and get on with it, really. I mean, it's one of the things where the amount of fixtures, there'll be a lot of fixtures, but you've just got to get on with it. And that's what Kenny said. I had a quick thing to say to Kenny Miller. Kenny was saying about, obviously, Barisic starting on Sunday. I hope Barisic is nowhere near that team on Sunday.
Yeah, well, that's going to be interesting again, what is rotated and what isn't. Kenny, I saw some Rangers fans on social media last night saying that the team looked a bit tired. That'd be understandable. Yep. It's not a criticism. What does the challenge look like to bounce back and go again in the cup?
Well, it'll look like every other domestic game that they've played after the European Thursday nights. It's tough.
Squad's a bit more stretched now.
It is a bit moment. I'm just looking at particularly in these attacking areas: Danilo, Sima, Matondo, Wright, Cantwell, Cortez, all out. That's where I think if you go back maybe 3 weeks ago, you were playing a game, and next game Philippe Clement changed his whole front three. Mm-hmm. That's not going to be able to happen on Sunday. So I do believe there will be a couple of changes, and I do think the players looked a bit tired. I mean, I've been in it. I think just like the travelling alone, is it does take out of you, and you've put an incredible amount of work in to keep a really good team at bay, and you're trying to protect a 2-2. It's a big ask, a big physical, mental ask for the players to get through it. But they'll come back, they'll recover, and all focus will be on this game on Sunday. I do believe there'll be changes. Listen, luckily for you, Gary, I don't pick the team, so Barisic might not be playing. But I do believe there will be at least two or three changes to that lineup from last night.
You're talking about changing the front. I mean, McCausland may well come in. He got a couple of minutes at the end last night. Probably had quicker
I think he
recovery.
Will come in, yeah. To be fair, yeah.
Does Kamar Roof come in? Is he ready to start a game, do you think, Kenny?
This was one of the things that I was thinking about last night, that it's purely going to be down to if he's able to.
Yeah.
Because Philippe Clement's quick to say it in the media about, well, he's not ready to play an hour, he's not ready to start a game. Well, we've not really heard that in relation to Sunday yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, if he is, then I think he could get the nod, because Silva and Dessers have been getting changed. Well, both of them played Thursday night, both of them put a lot of work in.
Thank you to Gary. Let me tell you about this. The final Make Me A Winner call of the week ended with someone saying hello instead of those four famous words. Do not let that happen to you next time out. It's £161,000 on the line on Monday. If you want involved, and why wouldn't you, text YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. The entries since Caroline won on Thursday have rolled over, and all the rules for this network competition can be found online. If you get the call after 3 p.m. on Monday, answer within five rings, and don't make that same mistake. Say "Make me a winner" straight away to win £161,000. Text YES to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Roger Hanna waiting to be joined by you on the phones, 01419511025. Celtic fans, how do you feel about your cup action this weekend? Brendan Rodgers has been speaking today, a number of topics covered. He's doubling down on his comments about the refereeing performances after Tynecastle. Says Celtic will fight that charge that he got handed by the Scottish FA. Of course, player departures this week as well in Lia Labada and Alejandro Bernabe. So get your calls in right now if you can, and we'll try and speak to you soon. Let's hear from Philippe Clement on that handball last night. This was his take on things.
Yeah, it's very harsh, yeah. I said it already a few times. I don't agree with where the game has gone to with the handball situation, but those are the rules. I had more problems with the last couple of weeks, some situations. This one, with the rules how they are now, you can give. But as somebody who loves football, I have difficulty with those rules, like all the managers, I think, and all the players, that it's too harsh now that a ball that's clearly not intended to go against your arm, the moment it touches you, it's penalty. And too many games are all over the world are decided in that way also, with these handballs and this penalty situation. But those are the rules we need to accept. I'm not from UEFA or FIFA, so that's not my job. Maybe after the job as manager, I can do something like that to make the game a little bit more simple again for referees also, because for them it's also a difficult job now.
Is that the rule though? I think that's the bit
that's the problem, isn't it?
I don't see how it is, but maybe someone from IFAB can tell us something different. Gary's a Rangers fan. What's your take on it all, Gary?
All right, guys, thanks for having me on. Basically, you know how Ibrox, all these stadiums, park, they've all got the screens that come up to tell you there's a VAR check going on. Mm-hmm. See if they are penalised for, like you say, a handball. Why can you not state what rule has been broken for that to happen? So, for instance, red card, excessive force, etc. I mean, why can you not state what rule has been broken? For sure, that would clear a lot up.
I mean, would it though? I mean, if you're talking about last night, you just say handball. You know, what would be cleared up by that?
We can put the rule as the players made a deliberate attempt to hit the ball when you can actually see the replay show up and you can actually head it onto his arm. So clearly that would be the rule. If it hits your head on your arm, surely that overrules it, so it can't be given.
I don't know. I don't
really
understand.
Well, that's what we thought, wasn't it? I mean, we were discussing this.
What I mean, but what difference would that being on a screen make? I mean, I'm sure the ref is aware of this or supposed to be aware of this.
I think the more communication we can give to the supporters within stadiums, the better. I would agree, you know, from that point from Gary, but listen, I don't know. It doesn't make us agree with the decision.
Because the offence, you know, communicating what the offence is one thing. So that's serious foul play, denying a goal scoring opportunity. That's one step further than we get at the moment. We don't get that, do we?
No.
Anywhere. But then even, I think it feels like Gary wants then more detail, you know, excessive force or endangering an opponent. That I don't know if we ever get to that.
I don't think
that
it would
stage.
I don't think,
because by the way, we're talking about Ibrox, and this feeds into another huge problem with VAR generally. Where are you putting it at Livingston? Where are you putting it at McDermott Park? You know, that's the whole point. Then you're relying on the stadium announcer, which we do currently, and
then having to explain rules, and you've got thousands of fans trying to kind of get their head around a rule that just makes no sense. You know?
And here we go, Kenny. Here's the flip side of it. English Championship, where they don't have VAR.
did you see QPR
against West Brom the other night. Best save of the week. Gordon's old pal, Cedric Kiepre.
What a man.
Hands it over the bar.
No. He just tips it over the bar.
Referee waves play on.
And missed it.
Referee missed it.
Like, not genuinely anymore. Just tips it over the bar.
Back in the good old days without VAR. Love it.
And that's the thing, this is where it tests your patience, doesn't it? You try to tell me there's fans
did
that
they mean
night.
It though?
I think there's fans that night going, ah, see, I'm still glad we don't have glad we don't have VAR. That was a howler, wasn't it?
Terrible.
Oh, jeez. I don't know, Gary, would that make you feel any better if you saw last night that different words on the screen? I mean, it's still a bad decision, is it not?
Well, the one thing is, if it deflects onto your head, onto your arm or any part of your body, it's not a penalty. So certainly they can see that. They can pick up in the rail board and be able to see that that's not actually the case that's happened because he came off his head on his arm. But I don't know how it works, obviously. It's different in Europe, it's different in England.
But that's the thing, the ref, I'm saying the ref would... knows the rules. He's going to know the rules. It's not like the ref should have to go and consult the big screen to
find what the rule book is.
A refresher course in it.
I'll take what was said last night, that there was potentially, I must have seen like 25 replays yet whilst this decision was going on, and there was three different angles. I seen one was kind of from behind, like the goal. One was from behind, directly behind John Souter, and one was from in front of John Souter. And the one from in front, that's probably the one that you could think, right, does he head it or does he not?
Yeah.
But the ones from behind are clear as day that he has headed that onto his hand. So the only thing you can think of is that they're looking at maybe not seeing the right pictures, or they have gave it, even though they know he's headed it off his arm, and the rule just doesn't apply. Mm. And I think that's what you were kind of getting at earlier, Gordon, that sometimes it might be they might be different. It might not be exactly tough to be to the letter of the law that we keep hearing all the time, because to the letter of the law, that's not a penalty.
Satisfied with the evening's work, that aside, Gary?
And the Morelos, they weren't showing the correct one of the camera angles.
That's right, the Dortmund one, yeah.
And then I'm not sure if last night about if they actually showed that angle, but when I was watching it in group reports, I didn't actually see the VAR monitor actually show that angle from behind the goal. I can't even remember if they showed it or not, but there was the only two angles they showed. It was a side and the front.
Yeah, and again, Roger, this is where it gets really boring. This is why those who were against VAR in the first place, you know, warned against it, because you're then relying on, so I think I'm right in saying that they made in the VAR headquarters in Neon, I think, isn't it, where we've got Clydesdale House. They have to give pictures to the broadcaster, and then it's the broadcaster that puts them out. So I don't think we'll ever know exactly what the referee saw.
The genie is out the bottle with VAR. It's not going to go away. What we need to do is just try and smooth the rough edges. And believe me, there have been plenty of rough edges with the implementation of the system. We complain, as Kenny said earlier on, we complain here about VAR officials, referees. Brendan Rodgers said John Beaton was incompetent last weekend. There's been chat of English refs coming up. There was a caller at the start of the week wanted referees to say what team they supported before they were allowed to take charge of games. But then you go to last night and you look at some of the decisions last night, not just in Lisbon, you know, in the West Ham game as well, and other games, and you do realise that other nations are having the same problems that we're having.
Thank you to Gary. Let's have a bit of fun on a Friday night.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. Let's finish the week on a high. 01419511025. Your chance to beat Roger Hannah or Kenny Miller, and you have to call before 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Roger Hannah are here. They've been looking back on Rangers' trip to Lisbon last night. If you've anything more to add, please do. Where are you Celtic fans? What are you thinking about the Cup this weekend? Brendan Rodgers has vowed to fight his Scottish FA charge for comments made about the referees at Tynecastle. We had a nice friendly debate about that stuff earlier on in the week. Let's reignite it, given that the manager has had his say. But we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on, 01419511025. We'll hear from Brendan Rodgers straight after we play, so get involved. Jimmy is on the line. How are you, Jimmy?
I'm good, yourself?
Not bad, not bad. Have you ever played Beat the Pundit before?
I have, yes.
And how did it go?
I lost to Simon Donnelly on a tiebreaker.
My advice generally to people who lost to Simon Donnelly would be, don't try and take on 100% Kenny Miller and minus one Roger Hanna. But I like it. I like your ambitiousness, your ambition there, Jimmy. Although it's not 100%, is it? Because you lost to Christopher in Ayrshire.
No, I'm not going through this charade again.
I wondered where that was going. Anyway, let's toss the coin and find out which of these big hitters you take on, Jimmy. Heads, it will be. You whistling at me or the dog or what's?
It was the dog.
All right. What's the dog's name?
Which one?
whoever you were whistling on.
There was two of them there.
Tell me both their names.
The one on the left.
I've got Copper, Wallace, Winnie and Rio.
Oh, that's a
carnage.
It's carnage.
You know Christopher from Ayrshire's now got nine.
Is he actually?
He has.
Sheep dogs.
No. He's got a new one called Vinny that he got for his birthday.
Christopher from Ayrshire is quite the character when you delve a bit deeper into his private life, isn't he? Anyway, heads it'll be Kenny. Whoever if Jimmy wins the ball, it's going to be ripped to shreds by those dogs as soon as it arrives. But anyway, heads it's Kenny, tails it's Roger, and it's heads Kenny Miller up against. You know that way. Try and take on a team after they come back from European action. It might have been a good time to face Roger after being back from Barbados action. But anyway, enough about his holiday. Let's give Kenny some greatest hits radio so he can't hear us. 30 seconds on the clock, Jimmy. You just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Your time starts now. Which Scotland international was relegated with Leeds last season?
Liam Cooper.
How many teams are left in the Scottish Cup?
Eight.
Which former Rangers player will be Leah Labada's teammate at Charlotte FC?
Pass.
Who's the only non-Scot currently managing in the Scottish Championship?
Pass.
Which current Scotland international has played for Blackburn and Newcastle?
Matt Ritchie.
How many English players started for Rangers last night?
What was that?
How many English players started for Rangers last night? Okay, let's bring Kenny back. Can you hear us, Kenny?
Surely can't.
30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Which Scotland international was relegated with Leeds last season?
Liam Cooper.
How many teams are left in the Scottish Cup?
Eight.
Which former Rangers player will be Leah Labada's teammate at Charlotte FC? Who's the only non-Scot currently managing in the Scottish Championship?
Jim Goodwin.
Which current Scotland international played for Blackburn and Newcastle?
Grant Hanley.
How many English players started for Rangers last night?
Three.
What team does Hollywood actor Gerard Butler support?
Celtic.
Okay.
Oh, that was a... You could have went on our question.
Did you think so?
Absolutely could have. Roger.
But I was...
Friday night intrigue.
I was getting a bit of donut out of my teeth. So I couldn't... Basically, is what I'm saying to you. Jimmy, how do you think it went?
Should have phoned
him
a different night.
He is a tough man to beat, I have to say. Liam Cooper was the answer to the first one, which you both got. You both got that there were eight teams left in the Scottish Cup, so it was it was ticking along quite nicely. Then Kenny sort of stretched his legs. The former Rangers player who'll be Leah Labada's teammate is Scott Arfield. Jim Goodwin is the only non-Scot in the Championship. That was a good one, that.
It was a good question.
I just feel like a good answer, though. To get that quick, I was impressed with that one.
Want to see him tomorrow, Kenny?
I know ya.
Tannadice, sorry.
Dundee United at Broth.
Oh, you got all the big games.
Yeah.
So, Barbados last week, Dundee this week.
No problem. All the same to me, Gordon.
No difference. The Scotland international who played for Blackburn and Newcastle is Grant Hanley. Kenny is on a roll.
Not Kevin Gallagher.
Here.
No?
The current Scotland international.
Oh, okay.
Don't get smart, Roger. Don't be smart. And how many English players started for Rangers? I did think this would be beyond even you. However,
Batlin, Stirling, Goldson, Tavernier,
Lundstrom,
five.
To the
not enough Scots in that team.
I forgot the goalie.
To whoever wrote the question and put six, Tom Lawrence plays for Wales. I'm just going to throw you all under the bus.
Just
whoever it was, just chuck. You see that bus? Get right under it.
We all got it wrong.
Everybody got it wrong exactly. So. We'll leave that there. None of you got it. And Gerard Butler supports Celtic. So there we go. Jimmy, it was not enough. That's why he's got 100% record this season. He's absolutely flying.
That's without even giving me the extra question. You're wrapped it before the full time whistle.
The donut, I told you.
I heard some of the stats last night you were reading to Daz in the Mushroom.
Mm-hmm.
Is Kenny, I missed the start of it. Is Kenny the only one with 100% record?
No.
Andy H.
Andy Halliday.
So when does a minus one thing kick in for them?
No, I still feel like...
Nah, we're not at that level.
That's it. They're good enough to win, but they're not truly unbeatable in the way that you are.
I disagree with that.
I mean...
I think there should be a VAR check in that.
We'll find out at the end of the season. Anyway, Jimmy, Scottish Cup for Celtic this weekend. It's been quite the eventful week. What are you thinking?
As long as it goes through, I'll be happy.
You still feel, obviously, a sore one in the league last week. The cup's important anyway, isn't it? You just feel like, is it the type of fixture you can see Celtic bouncing back?
They should. It's kind of, there'd be something incredibly wrong if they don't.
Yeah, I mean,
at home. So
You would have to say at this stage of competition, if you get a home tie against Livingston, with no disrespect, it's probably roughly what you're looking for.
I would have thought so. Look at the games, the four quarter finals. If you were playing one of those last man standing games and you had to put a nailed on winner in the four quarter finals, you would go for Celtic first, I think.
Absolutely would. I think they need to bounce back. It was a poor result. I know it was maybe circumstances surrounding the result as well, but you must bounce back. And I think, again, for Celtic, Rangers have already won the League Cup. They'll be looking to win the league. They'll be looking to win the Scottish Cup. And this, again, it should be straightforward for Celtic, particularly at home.
Bit of change this week as well, Jimmy. You know, the transfer window's closed, so we don't tend to think that there's going to be personnel changes. But Burnaby and Abada, for two very different reasons, have gone. What did you make of those?
The Burnaby one wasn't expected. Leal Abada, he's got a tough situation there. He's been getting a lot of pressure from his home country. He needs to get away. And my personal view is the Green Brigade don't help the situation. That's a situation that we shouldn't be partially getting involved in.
Oh, Roger, we went over this at the time when it became clear that Leal Abada wasn't going to be in the headspace to play. That there's just so much goes into it, clearly. He obviously was extremely uncomfortable. That would be an understatement.
Yeah.
At what he saw from an element of the Celtic support. The wider Celtic support would, I'm sure, point out quite rightly that, you know, when he came on, he personally was given that backing. There was a big cheer when he came on. That doesn't take away from, obviously, the situation he found himself in. A lot said from people at home. And let's be honest, you kind of think you've seen everything in Scottish football, and then this comes along. It's kind of different from anything we've ever seen before. And the end game is that he's left. He's away to Charlotte, as you heard in Beat the Pundit, for, depends what fee you believe. But I think in America last night, the reports about, what was it, working out about £6 million, maybe upwards of that.
A very good young player, still only 22 years of age. You forget he was only 19 when he came from Israel. And, you know, he's won five major trophies at Celtic. He scored however many, 29 goals or whatever it was, Gordon. Had circumstances been different, you would have expected his career to continue in the upward trajectory with Celtic and for him to be sold for a lot more money than the figure you just quoted there. But, you know, talk about circumstances out with anyone's control. I think Leal Abada had to leave Celtic. I think it was a very impressive statement from him last night. Admitting had circumstances been different, he would gladly have stayed on and continued his career with Celtic, but no one can have foreseen the circumstances that the young man found himself in. We wish him well in Charlotte. I hope the MLS doesn't become a sort of obstacle to his career, because he's too good to be, you know, stuck over there and forgotten about. He could be playing in one of Europe's elite leagues for me, but as we say, unique circumstances, and we wish him well.
We probably all didn't really see Leal Abada as an option for Celtic's team at the moment anyway, Jimmy, because of that. But does the Burnaby one, does that leave Celtic a bit light, or was it just time that he simply had to go?
He wasn't making the grade at Celtic. There's no point keeping him around. Brendan Rodgers clearly doesn't fancy him as a player, because as soon as Greg Taylor was fit to play, Burnaby was straight out of the squad and nowhere to be seen again. So Brendan Rodgers is just going to make do with what he has, with or without Burnaby. I don't think it's a huge loss.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't say much for the way that Burnaby was thought of, Kenny, that Celtic would rather have one left back, basically. I mean, in the modern game, with this obsession about depth and multiple players, yes, Liam Scales could go over there. Yes, Anthony Ralston probably will go over there. But the willingness to go with one left back's a pretty damning indictment of Burnaby, is it not?
Absolutely is. Again, the Dazzler had washed his hands of him anyway a few weeks back now, because he wasn't tracking back in one of the games. So it does, you know, like, he has played games, obviously, in Greg Taylor's absence in the last month or so. So you're right to go light. It shows he's not going to be thought of as any kind of loss for Brendan or anyone else at Celtic. And they're going to effectively, if Greg Taylor was to have a or occurrence of that injury or pick up another injury or suspension, they're going to have to play someone out of position in that area. So again, it does show you again he's no kind of set the world on fire since he's came over. He's no forced his way into the team by another. It's a big transfer fee paid for him initially. I think it was £4 million was reported at the time, so it's not worked out for club or for the player.
Yeah, because there's a lot said about Celtic's recruitment recently, Roger, so that at the moment has to go down as a, I feel, expensive one that didn't go didn't go right.
Yeah. Well, listen, he's still a Celtic player. He's only on loan at Internazionale. You wonder if he does well, whether Celtic can recoup a fair slice of that transfer outlay. But the fact that Celtic are willing to let him go at a time when our transfer window's closed, there's no capacity to go and get a replacement, I think it shows that he's probably used up his last chance under Brendan Rodgers. Didn't look great. Was it a goal David Watson scored for Kelly, the 1-1 at Celtic Park late on, as you were saying? I think that's maybe the last straw for Brendan Rodgers. And if there is a recurrence of Greg Taylor's injury, as you say, Kenny, it will be Scales, or it will be Ralston, or it will be young Mitchell Frame coming into that team.
Should have mentioned that.
They are all ahead of Burnaby now in the pecking order.
Yeah, it's been quite the week. Not often that two, certainly first team squad members leave and in March, you know, just as you say, it's strange timing. Maybe Abada isn't thought of as being an option anyway. It's looked for a couple of weeks like this was just inevitable at some point.
It's circumstances no one's ever dealt with before, Gordon. So, you know, it's not as if Celtic could say, oh, you know, we're not going to let him go because we might need him next week. He wouldn't have made himself available next week. I think this is a solution that probably solves a problem that was a problem for everyone, if you know what I mean. It was a problem for the lad himself, it was a problem for the club, because they had a big asset there that they were unable to utilise. So whether it's £6 million, whether it's 8, whether it's 10, whatever, I think Celtic have done well to get quite a decent transfer fee, quite a decent profit on a player who, for the time being, they wouldn't have been able to use.
Just out of curiosity, quickly, if Greg Taylor goes off injured this weekend, what's the first go to, do you think, out of those options that you...
Ralston for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ralston to go on at left back, I would say.
Actually, if it was me, I would probably move Liam Scales over one and, you know, play someone with Carter Vickers, whoever's fit. And I noticed Narodsky wasn't in the squad last weekend. It was Welsh and Lager Bielka, but for balance purposes, probably do that.
Let's bring in Jamie, who's a Celtic fan. What's your point about tonight, Jamie?
It's about where Leo Labad has moved to, really. Mm-hmm. I'm just a bit shocked at the fact that it's a move to the MLS, because also I know that it's probably maybe because it's the only transfer window open at the minute, but surely there was a kind of better options on the table for both parties. We were talking a few months ago, maybe 6 months to 12 months ago, possibly getting maybe £15-20 million further down the line for Leo Labada. And I understand he's in a very, very difficult situation, and I don't want to focus on the politics of it, and I just kind of want to focus on the kind of football side of it. It just seems like a particularly strange move. Like, why FC Charlotte, when he's very, very clearly capable of playing in one of Europe's top leagues? That's it. So just wanted to see what the fans think of that.
Yeah, and as we've said a couple of times, Jamie, I think it's just the circumstances. I mean, I said a moment ago, I think Leo Labada is capable of playing in one of Europe's big leagues, but the window that would allow him to go to those leagues is closed. I think there was an urgency on Leo's behalf to move away from the club. I think he would be experiencing pressure from people in his own country to get away and start elsewhere. And Charlotte are the first team to put up the money. I agree, it's not the money.
And their transfer window is open.
It's open, you know.
Jamie acknowledges.
Yeah.
Why was the urgency no there? Like, this is, again, I know, without going into the politics, I think it's been a situation for a number of months now, you know. Like, I absolutely agree. That's when I'm looking at now. I think, like,
did you not know in January? Is that what
absolutely?
You're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
But
yeah,
for any transfer to take place, you need three willing parties. Mm-hmm. You need two clubs and the player. Quite clearly, in January, Abada's people were trying to find them a club, and in January they couldn't find a deal for him that was suitable for the player, for Celtic, and for the buying club. Hence, it's rolled into through February, rolled into March. It's only the US transfer window that's still open. Yeah, and he's had to go there.
But do you think that is the case? Like, from Leo Labada played three times in January and twice in February for Celtic. Mm-hmm. So What was the will, was the willingness there from Celtic at that point? Was the awareness there from Celtic?
There, yeah, you know, it was maybe deals could be done in January, but not to Celtic's satisfaction. And only when the player brought this issue to a head by stepping away and you know, making himself unavailable for the first team, maybe that has forced Celtic's hand to a degree.
Yeah, I mean, Jamie, is it just one of those that as Roger sort of outlined the reasons? Is there much more? Was it when it became clear that he had to leave, were Celtic ever going to get top dollar for him?
Well, I mean, I completely understand both parties trying to make it work, and I actually appreciate it. I didn't realise he'd made as many appearances as that. I know it doesn't sound like much, but given obviously his circumstances, I didn't realise he'd played five times over the last couple of months.
Must admit, neither did I. Well, I did remember the Hibs one.
Well, he's tried to make it work, and I'm certainly not going to hold against the boy that he's decided in March. Do you know what? I can't hack this. Do you know what I mean? I need to leave. So, but I mean, is there any sort of precedent for any like sort of special dispensation for UEFA? I know it's all kind of done. It's all hypothetical. I'm just quite interested in the situation, like, because surely the circumstances are very, very unique at the moment in what's going on. So surely there could be like sort of special dispensation granted for him to sign for a club and join, but maybe he'll play other than the reserves or something like that. I don't know. I'm a bit gutted that he's went for £10 million. Do you know what I mean?
I have to say, I don't know that.
We might miss out in the Champions League money. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those teams we might not win the league. So
yeah, it could be a costly one for Celtic. Maybe less than they thought. But there we are. Leo Labada gone. Alejandro Bernabe. Different reasons as well. So get your thoughts in if you have any. And some very interesting comments today from Brendan Rodgers on that Scottish FA charge that he was handed earlier in the week. He's standing by the comments. He says the club will defend them. But what do you think now, hearing from him? It was the first time we've had the chance to hear what he had to say. So if you get your calls in right now, please, Celtic fans or anyone else that's interested, and we will speak to you next.
Clyde One Live, celebrating the first 50 years.
Yes, if you missed it on Wednesday, Emily Sandé is the third act to be announced for Clyde One Live. She's going to join Amy McDonald and Callum Beattie at the Ovo Hydro in Glasgow on Friday the 31st of May. You can get your tickets at clyde1.com, and there are plenty more acts to be announced over the coming week. You don't want to miss out, so go to clyde1.com, grab those tickets and get that date in your diary. Friday the 31st of May at the Ovo Hydro.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it, watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Kenny Miller are here on 0141 951 1025, or it's Twitter at ClydeSSB. So get in touch. I said we were about to hear from Brendan Rodgers. He's speaking about a number of topics today: Bernabe, Abada, and that Scottish FA charge that he was handed earlier in the week, the one which could in theory see him serving a ban for the game at Ibrox, which I'm sure will cause a bit of a stir if that was to be the case. So get your calls in right now. We'll hear from him in a second, and let me do this first.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors East Kilbride, offering champion bespoke media units to put you right in the game.
I think two men of your capabilities are going to scoosh this, but I think the listeners will like it. It's a good level of difficulty. It's relevant this weekend, so let's see how we go. Thanks to David and the Gorbals for sending it in. Since 2007, there have been 9 players from outside of Europe who've scored in the Scottish Cup final. So since 2007, 9 non-Europeans have scored in the Scottish Cup final. Can you name them?
There's always a clue in the question, Gordon, isn't there?
Yeah, I would say so.
2007, Jean-Joël Perrier-Doumbé.
He'll do it. Cameroon international, wasn't he? Jean-Joël Perrier-Doumbé.
Beasley?
Yep. 2008. You played that one, didn't you?
Queen of the
South? No, did you not?
That was year after.
Ah, no, no. Yep. Yeah, 2008 was Queen of the South, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
You're not there at that point?
No.
It's hard to keep up with you.
Yep.
What about Ryan Edwards for Hearts against Celtic?
See, you know when he's pulling out the difficult ones to start with that he's like showing off. Right, okay, we'll leave it there. Because I think you can tell these two are going to manage this. So the 9 players from the 9 non-European players who've scored in the Scottish Cup final since 2007. Doumbé, Beasley, McGowan, Edwards. Okay, well, get back to that. So thanks again to David for sending it, and thanks to Universal Interiors East Kilbride for helping us out. If you want to use a question, or you want to hear, sorry, your question used, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. Let's hear what Brendan Rodgers had to say on that Scottish FA charge that he received earlier this week.
No, not at all. You know, my job is to defend the team, defend the club, and that's what we'll do in this case. We'll defend it vigorously, and when the date comes, then we'll go from there. And it's that one game, but it, for me, it's obviously my observations over many games, primarily around the inconsistency of decisions. You know, so but I don't want to go into it too much. Like I said, I never talk so much about referees, and haven't done over the course of my career. You know, I understand they make mistakes, but I felt the ones last week were clear errors in the game. So like I said, the first one, I've seen incidents worse than that, and I thought the on-field decision was correct. You know, the yellow card. You know, we had a report back to say that the studs and boot was in the face of the player, which clearly a couple of days later, even when we get that report and it says that, it's clearly not the case when you watch it. So, but we'll go through that and we'll answer that later on in the month.
Roger, what did you make of this story from your beach bed in Barbados?
Well, the first thing I thought of was, thank goodness I'm not doing the show on Monday night. I'll leave it to Hugh Keevans and Andy Halliday to plough through all of this. And what a weekend it was for Andy Halliday's two teams. Listen, some of the decisions recently have baffled, you have to say. The Iwata handball being the outstanding, most baffling one at the weekend there. I was surprised at the level of Brendan Rodgers' post-match outburst, if you want to use that word, simply because it's very unlike him. It's very out of character. He's been twice Celtic manager over a number of seasons, and it is very unlike him to complain so vehemently about officialdom and decisions that were taken on the field of play. He has very much doubled down, to use your phrase, on that today. And if only they sold tickets for the SFA hearing at the end of the month, they'd fill the place.
We've argued a lot about the decisions, and I'm sure we'll continue to. And then the beauty of it is, with another nonsense handball last night, by the looks of it, to get our teeth into. Specifically on that charge, then, are you? He doesn't regret it. He's kind of standing by it, if you like. Celtic are going to fight it, which of course they're more than entitled to do. What did you make of that specifically?
Well, I mean, the charge, as soon as you heard Brendan speaking on Sunday, you knew he was going to be charged. I think the charge says you can't imply bias or incompetence in terms of officials. Well, Brendan didn't imply incompetence. He said John Beaton was incompetent. So you knew the charge was coming. I would imagine, and the SFAs always say, you can never really say with huge confidence how it's going to go, but I think he'll have an uphill struggle with this one.
That's the thing, because we're barely experts on the normal football stuff, never mind judicial protocols and what goes on at those hearings and how things are argued, because we've never had the privilege, is that the right word, of seeing them play out. I have to accept that there must be a chance that Celtic's legal team can go in there, put up some sort of convincing argument. I have no idea. From the layman side of it, from the outside, as you mentioned, the rule says you can't indicate bias or incompetence. Brendan Rodgers said incompetent. So from the outside, it clearly looks, as you say, like it would be an uphill task.
But it's the SFA, Gordon.
It'll be an independent judicial panel, I would imagine, actually, at that stage. But I don't know. We had callers on the other night saying, but if everybody's saying that this was the wrong decision, then it is incompetence. So he's only telling the truth. I have no idea if that gets you off with it. I wouldn't have thought so. But again, never been in the room.
I'm not sure if an independent tribunal hearing veritas is a defence.
Now we are getting, I mean, Friday night, we're using words like that. Kenny Miller, this is real Scottish football stuff, these types of arguments.
Absolutely has been. Again, I'm with you. I think when it's in the, well, by the way, a penalty was given against the rules last night. So maybe Celtic will get put up their case and get their manager off with the charge, but it does look pretty black and white in the rules and in the laws of the game that you're not allowed to use that phrase. It was clearly used, so who knows? We'll see. I think the bigger kind of picture is what games he's going to miss, you know, and yeah, what games he could potentially miss out.
And listen, I know it's not what the SFA call a fast track offence,
no,
but you know, you can understand Celtic's annoyance that it has been placed on a date whereby the following two fixtures are Livingston and Rangers away, and there's the potential for Brendan Rodgers, if he is hit with a two-match touchline ban, to have to watch the Old Firm game from the main stand at Ibrox.
The irony of that being that
there's no Celtic fans.
Well, that's actually not what I was going to say, but you can throw that into the mix. The irony of that being is that the protocol's there to give clubs an appropriate amount of time to respond to these things. Yeah. And from what I gather, they could maybe have squeezed it in the 21st, the week before, which would still see Brendan Rodgers banned for Ibrox if it wasn't to go his way. So as you say, it's not a fast track issue. It's not a Yang appeal.
Yeah.
It's not a remind me, Kilmarnock, Lewis Mayo.
Yeah.
It's not a Lewis Mayo appeal. And we don't do it that simple that he misses a random Livingston and, you know, St. Johnston game.
But I know what you mean, Gordon. You know something, I sort of tend to agree with you, but I think
you don't have any choice, I'm afraid.
There will be people who will say that if Brendan Rodgers is found guilty, he's guilty of an offence that took place on the 3rd of March.
Yeah, but check any time, right? Check them back, because I know you're a student of the game.
Look at
managers that have been done on this type of charge. It's always this time frame that follows.
Well, I am agreeing with you. What I am saying is that the people who don't agree with you might be able to say, how on earth can someone commit an offence on the 3rd of March and serve the punishment on the 7th of April away from home to Rangers? So I know what you mean.
But just because you can ask the question doesn't mean, what does that mean? Like, the answer's there. It's been there in black and white. All the clubs know that.
You know the West of Scotland.
But again, that's not the point though, is it? What does that mean?
No. You wonder. Celtic aren't happy about it. Celtic are not happy about it. The prospect of their manager sitting in the main stand.
I'm sure they're not. That's understandable.
And I think Celtic would have preferred a hearing at an earlier date.
I've got the solution already for it. I think what the outcome will be, he'll miss a game.
Yeah, there's every chance.
If the independent panel of Charlie McGrew, Simon Donnelly and Mark Wilson say he's going to miss a game, then he'll miss a game.
I think the two game, they tend to say that's the lower end of the scale, and that's kind of what
was the upper end? 20 games?
Apparently, yeah. I can't see it. I can't see a 20 game ban, but one does remain a possibility. I think less likely, but you never know.
You never know. Yeah. Scottish football, wonderful.
Yeah. Anyway, Ian's on the line. How are you, Ian?
How you doing, Gordon, Roger, and Kenny?
Hi, Ian.
Hi, Ian.
I've got a couple of points. The first main point is we're talking about the Champions League. It's a 36 team league, whatever you want to call it. Four pots, top nine, second nine, third nine, four nine. So it's four groups, A, B, C, D. And there's two teams out of each pot, giving eight games. So the guy James, the Rangers supporter, was all over the place. Muddled up, so he was. I don't think anybody knows what's going on. This has been ratified for 3 years. So, the way it works out, top eight go through to the last 16. 9-24, play an extra two games, home and away, to determine the final eight, and it will make it the last 16.
Right.
And 25th to 36, out of Europe completely.
Mm-hmm.
Europa League and the Conference League is the same, but they've got eight games in the Europa and six in the Conference. So there's a pot of gold there waiting for one of the big two in Scottish football. Forget about other teams, but the two in Scotland.
I'd rather not. So, I know what you mean.
So let's go to the Celtic and Hearts game. Sporting integrity comes into a lot of it. Celtic's penalty kick wasn't a penalty. Kenny, I think you said at the top of this, not the top of this, the night show, the other night, wasn't a penalty. Yang left his foot in and went down. Don Robertson gave a penalty. You scored the penalty kick, Kenny. You're not talking about the other two decisions, because the dynamics of the game will change, because Hearts would be 1-0 down and would need to come out, open up. That leaves the game open for Celtic to go and score another two or three goals, but it didn't happen. The two decisions, the penalty, the red card,
the young boy Cochran put his head in, not a red card, it's a yellow, referee got it correct. And the penalty kick incident, something similar to Souter's last night, but Alistair Johnson goes right through the back of him. I don't know if a Rangers player goes through the back of Souter last night, but it comes down, he doesn't know where his hand is, Kenny. And you were talking about Gordon the other night, about the decision against Celtic. I think the Celtic supporter was a guy called Andy Gordon.
Yep.
It was against Dundee United, and you were talking about a player that's just left to go to Brazil, Alejandro Bernabei. The ball hit the back of his hand. It was at the game, it was a 4-2 game against Dundee United.
That's right, yep.
And Celtic won the game with two goals in the last 3 or 4 minutes. But I think the referee was David Dickinson.
See, the thing about that one, Ian, you're right, because I think all agreed that time was when we were getting a lot of really bad handball decisions, wasn't it? I think Matt O'Reilly was even worse, really hard done by at home to Ross County, I seem to remember. But yeah. this is the irony, if you can call it that. Since then, we were told that those wouldn't be given anymore. You know, I always say in the show, I go to these refereeing briefings and all that and find out what's supposed to be happening. We were told that it was different since then. So at the start, handball was a bit of a mess and VAR wasn't helping, but we were told that after that, ones like the Matt O'Reilly wouldn't be given. They actually didn't say that about the Burnaby one, because as unlucky as it was for him, they said it still stopped the ball going towards the goal, which is obviously what they're really trying to clamp down on. And then Iwata pops up the other day, and I don't know if this last night, I don't know, are we supposed to feel better about
two wrongs don't make a right.
Two yangs don't make a right, as somebody called in about last night. Uh-huh. He'd been rehearsing it all day. Uh-huh. It went really well.
We don't understand. We think we understand the handball rule because you can open up the manual and you can read the handball rule and you think, right, I've got that clear in my head. And then you see the way the handball rule is implemented by referees and by VARs, and it just messes with your head, Gordon. We don't understand it. How that what's there in black and white doesn't match up with what we're seeing with our own eyes.
It's annoying.
And the decisions that are being made.
I felt like it had started to head in a slightly better direction as I say that. The Burnaby, that Matt O'Reilly one, I feel like there then became a time when, like, you're not getting them anymore.
Yeah.
And it seemed like it had got a little bit more sensible. Of course, the fallout from Tynecastle was that, you know, it was very pointed at sort of our officials, and whether it's incompetence, as Brendan Rodgers says, or bias, as many callers had alleged earlier in the week, Kenny. And then I see that last night, so I don't know, you just throw that into the mix.
Well, last night, I think Rodgers says it messed with your head. Last night's messed with my head, because I think that is as clear as it gets in relation to the wording of the law, and the rule, sorry. Whereas the Iwata one is just as ridiculous. You know, like, there's the ball's not moving towards the goal, there's no been any advantage gained by anybody, he's been nudged. Through the nudge, he then reacts because his body moves, his arm moves, and the ball just harmlessly drops and touches his forearm. You know, and there's a penalty given, and not only is there a penalty, like, you've got replay after replay after replay to check it, to either correct the decision or just not give the penalty, and it's still, like, the penalty's given. Like, that's, so last night, because we've seen, for what I've seen, and what everybody's seen, John Souter heads it on his own arm. That should not be a penalty. Right. Last week, again, you're saying by the meetings, that will not be, well, it's been given. So, on the handball rule, I've heard Philippe Clement talk about it. He wants to make it clearer or more simple. And my question would be how? Because ultimately, you're always going to have a referee or referees and VARs looking at a situation, and they're giving their view on that particular situation. And by you say it all the time, Gordon, not everything's the same. So, in relation to the sending off, you can't just say every high boot's the same. You know, so it's just an automatic red, because that, for me, again, it was a yellow card. It was a yellow card offence based on that particular incident, not a high boot and kicking somebody in the head, because Yang never kicked anyone in the head. Cochran made the contact, so it was a mess. You know, it was. The handball is a mess. How you clear up, I have absolutely no idea.
Thanks to Ian on the usual number, which there is still time for you to call. You two on this teaser quickly. 9 players, non-Europeans, they've scored in a Scottish Cup final since 07. Ryan Edwards, Ryan McGowan, DeMarcus Beasley, Jean-Joël Perrier-Doumbé,
Kyogo.
Yep. Roger.
What about Tom Rogic?
Yes, and we'll get the rest of the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're on the home straight with Kenny and Roger. They've got work to do on this teaser, but I think they're going to squish it. Can you name nine players, non-European, who've scored in the Scottish Cup final since 07? Kyogo, Ryan Edwards, Tom Rogic, Ryan McGowan, DeMarcus Beasley, Jean-Joel Perrier, Doumbé. Give me one more each. Key? Yes, unfortunately. I remember it all too well.
Motherwell game.
Yes. That's the one Mark Wilson claims he scored in, but it was clearly a Stephen Craigan own goal. But anyway.
I think so. And he's been mentioned in the show. I can't believe it took us along the last cup final, Leila Bada.
Yeah, I know some people, when they send these in because Israel play in, under the UEFA umbrella, but I won't grumble about it too much from David. So he qualifies for David's question. Only one to get. We'll get it before the end of the show, I am sure. The one thing I would say is bear football nationality in mind again with the one that you're waiting on. Okay? Don't give me it yet.
All right, okay. I'm not going to give you it because I don't have it.
Okay. Huge weekend in the Scottish Cup. Looking forward to it. You're looking at the importance of all the ties, but particularly what it might mean. Aberdeen fans are having a right old grumble. Simon's a Kilmarnock fan. Are you heading up there?
Hi guys, hope you're all well. First of all, just before I go into that, can I just say my thoughts with the Rangers fan and his family who passed away sadly in Lisbon. It's a really horrible thing to hear, and you know, it's really, really sad news. Nobody should go to a football match and never come back. But
well said, Simon. I was going to actually end the show on that note, but I don't mind at all you bringing it up. I think it's important. Well said.
So yeah, tomorrow, 6:20 in the morning from Kilmarnock. I think the 12:15 kickoff is a bit of a joke, but I understand obviously TV schedules and things like that is probably the only option that we could have had. But yeah, so going up tomorrow morning. Saw today that we've sold out our allocation now. 1,800 Kilmarnock fans travelling up, which is massive. The biggest away crowd, I think, people have been looking into it, that we've ever taken up there. Biggest away crowd that's been there all season as well, because obviously smaller numbers in the league. So, you know, it's going to be a really big day and really looking forward to it. But I think it'll be a tougher game than some people are suggesting.
Yeah, does it feel a bit weird being a so-called wee team fan, Simon? Going to somewhere like Pittodrie and kind of everyone almost expects you to win and is looking at the crisis that will happen if you do.
Miofsky's the best striker in the league, and we've kept him unbelievably quiet every time we've played him this season. Lewis Mayo has been superb against him, Stuart Finlay as well. You know, the balance of probabilities, you think a player that good, you know, eventually you'll get the better of one of our defenders. I think it's Aberdeen's last chance, really, you know, for anything this season. They're not going to make the top six. Looks like, if anything, they're going to be in a battle to stay in the division, you know, so this is their last chance to do something. So their players will be completely fired up for it. You know, I imagine they'll have a decent crowd as well, even though they're not playing well. So it should be a good crowd, you know, a good game. But yeah, like you say, as a smaller team still going up there, you know, our record at Pittodrie's, we won there early in the season, but it's not the best. You know, we've had two wins there since, I think, 2011. So, you know, not a great record there, but you've got to be confident going in.
What does defeat do for Neil Warnock if it was to happen, if Simon gets his way?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it just adds to the misery of what's going on at this moment in time. No one in six in the league since he's came up. Four defeats, I think it's two draws in home games as well. 3-3 and 2-2, I think it was, Motherwell and Hibs. And actually, in the only win, Bonnyrigg, Bonnyrigg were actually good in the game. You know, they put up a really, really good fight. I mean, can you change another manager at this stage of the season if it's not going right, where you've actually just brought someone through the door? I'm not too sure what it would mean for Neil Warnock and Aberdeen. What it would mean is they'd be at the Scottish Cup. And like Simon says, it probably ends any ambition, anything, because at this moment in time, doesn't look like they're going to get near the top six. They should probably be looking over their shoulder. So I think all the points Simon makes are bang on. I also agree that they've still got some really, really good players, and you're expecting at some point for those players to actually show that quality more so than what they've been doing at this moment in time under Neil Warnock.
I just wonder how long if Aberdeen lose, and I think they might lose tomorrow, I wonder how long they can limp on with Neil Warnock. The experiment has backfired spectacularly. Kenny touched in the Bonnie Rigg Rose game. I think Bonnie Rigg Rose had more of the ball and more attempts on goal.
They did, yeah.
They have been getting progressively worse. I don't think Neil Warnock has had the positive influence, impact on them that the club hoped he would have. I think it's actually gone the reverse way. I'm never convinced nowadays that the tactics will come in and saying, well, the players just aren't good enough, you know, and that boy Majorski can't defend corners, you know, and, you know, there's just not enough leaders in the team and there's just not enough men in the team. I don't think that works anymore.
I take your point. I'm generally a big advocate of that. I think football's got itself in such a mess. We just think just changing the manager constantly is going to fix things when it won't. However, I wonder if this is a bit different. This is a guy who's only here till the end of the season. It was supposed to be a stopgap. If you go out of the cup and you probably can't make the top six, and you've got a guy that's going to leave at the end of the season, it's a really weird position to be in.
I say that
they could make top six, but no, it's really difficult.
It's because they're not winning games. You're thinking. I mean, their fixtures on paper for an Aberdeen team look like they should be pretty favourable. I mean, even the last two games, when you think of the Kilmarnock game and the St Johnstone game, it was that you're thinking there was no Hibs, no Hearts, no Rangers, no Celtic in these last seven fixtures, but they've actually lost those two games into that kind of runny fixture. So it's just not worked, you know. Like they're in a city. I said at the time, I felt it was a strange appointment. Not just the fact that it was Neil Warnock; it was the interim appointment. Like, and it happened really, really quickly. So it's not even as if you kind of started to do a process. Listen, maybe they did behind the scenes, but I would suggest that they probably didn't. That they're looking at going through a process and maybe just no finding that right guy. So they thought, you know what, we maybe need to find this stopgap. But they just literally jumped straight into the stopgap 2 days after Barry Robson was out the door. So I felt it was a strange appointment at the time. And I think it's certainly proven that way, because we're in a situation now, we're talking as if they lose this cup game tomorrow. Should they? What is that? What would that be? Six, eight games in to an interim reign that's only supposed to last 3 months, by the way. That we should maybe just think, you know what, let's just cut ties and move on.
They've had huge fixtures this year. You know, think Eintracht Frankfurt and Salonika and HG Helsinki. This week is the biggest week in Aberdeen's season by a million miles. They have the chance to get to a Hampden semi-final and buy themselves a bit of time with a disgruntled support. But beyond the Kilmarnock game tomorrow, away at Dundee and away at Motherwell, would you fancy that Aberdeen team to go and pick up points at Dens or Fir Park?
We will see. Enjoy your trip, Simon.
Oh, I'll try to.
Good man, that was Simon heading up to Pittodrie tomorrow, hoping Kilmarnock can get the win. Right, let's see if you can get a win on this teaser. We're looking for 9 non-Europeans who've scored in a Scottish Cup final since 07. Kyogo, Abada, Edwards, Ryan Edwards that is, Tom Rogic, Ryan McGowan, Ki Sung Young, DeMarcus Beasley, Jean-Joel Perrier Dumbe, the one you're waiting on. I did give you a little clue, and it's that you're going to want to lean on football nationality rather than where he was born.
I think I've got it.
I think you've got it.
Well, you know what? I'm going with you,
no,
Roger.
You go first.
No, you go.
No. Listen, we're the same guy. Write it down.
Yeah.
You're going to have to go pretty quickly in case you can't tell, because that's the music playing. Well,
by the way, can you read that?
That might be a better shout than mine. Go for it.
Cham.
What was your shout?
My shout was Josh Gianelli.
Olivier and Cham.
Oh, well done.
There we go.
Against Motherwell.
Another one against
team developing here. Very good goal. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, well done.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Kenny. Thank you, Roger. We're back tomorrow. We're on Sunday as well. A 6-hour special on Mother's Day and Sunday. Thank you very much to the scheduling department at the Scottish FA for those Scottish Cup fixtures. You won't get rid of us this weekend. But it all starts tomorrow, 2 o'clock. Make sure you join us. And George is up next with the GBX.